I want you to turn to your Bibles. Don't just remain standing. The reading of the first couple verses, and then after that, we'll take a seat. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Hallelujah. And maybe if you could turn down your phones and put it on vibrate, and the social media updates could stop too as well. Amen. If you know what I'm talking about. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You guys got it? All right. If you don't got it, I'll wait for you. All right. Some people are flipping pages. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And also, too, put a marker on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. We're just going to jump off two verses. I'm not going to give you a lot of verses today, but I'm going to give you a little bit of insights. I'm going to just kind of get you somewhere. I'm going to start somewhere, and I'm going to drive it home, and I'm going to bring you somewhere. We're going to go somewhere tonight, today. Amen. Right, so I'm going to read the first verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And to the day of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord. We want to thank you for all that you're going to do here this morning. I pray that your word will come alive to us and you begin to speak to us like you always do. In Jesus' name. Everybody says?
Amen.
I want you to turn to your neighbor real quick before you receive it. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're a piece of work. Go ahead and take a seat after that.
You are a piece of work.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The title of the message here this morning is Work in Progress. Work in Progress. And the reason why I mention that, because I know that, you know, we're going to be getting into the Faith and Family series pretty soon. Matter of fact, it's not in June, it's in May. I know we keep kind of messing up the announcements there, but it's May 20th, and it's going to be starting pretty close. Amen. And so I encourage you to come to those services. It's going to be amazing. We have some really good content that we want to share with you in regards to the family. How many know the family is important? Amen. And just like we believe in family and physically and our family, blood family, that is, we believe that it is so super important that we keep that as an important thing in our church. But not only that, our spiritual family. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're important too. You're very important. Yes. In our church, we believe that it should be a big part of the church that we celebrate families. We want to celebrate families. Why? Because family is super important. The devil is after your family. And he wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. But how many know we need to have a protection? How many know God wants to protect our families, right? The one thing that I want to deal with here this morning that I feel like we need to hear this morning is because I this is a personal experience that I experienced when I first got saved and I had my children. And when I had my children, it was a new kind of a time in my life where I was learning how to be a father and learning how to be a husband, and learning how to just carry myself and conduct myself as a man of God. But one of the things that I dealt with was striving not to be a hypocrite, you know, because it's easy to be a hypocrite in your own house. Because a lot of times the hardest people to reach is your own very own family. Why? Because they see all your flaws. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I know you got flaws. Yep, you do. You got some flaws. And they'll see your children are the first one to see your flaws. Matter of fact, they'll tell you, I thought you were a man of God. I thought you were a woman of God. I just saw you worshiping and now you're cussing.
Oh, somebody.
Oh, somebody. You know, it happens. It happens. And I had to deal with that. My wife used to treat me that way. She goes, oh, you're supposed to be the pastor and you're doing what? I'm like, oh my God, I am the pastor. She would get on my case. How many know that it's good to have a Holy Ghost woman, if you're a man here, a Holy Ghost woman of God?
Amen.
Because she'll point out all your flaws real fast. Amen. She'll tell you like it is. She'll, you ain't doing that. And then she'll remind me, she goes, you're not a kid anymore. You remember that. You're almost 50. I'm like, yeah. You better tell my mind that because it's still thinking it's young. Amen. But she'll be the first one to kind of point things out. My children were always the ones that used to tell me stuff all the time. And it was so hard to try to be a man of God in my very own family. Because they would see me slip up. You know, I cussed in front of my pastor. This is a confessions of a pastor. Amen. I remember having lunch or dinner with my pastor, right? And so I was safe for a while, too. I was sitting there, and we're having this great food, man. It was awesome food, right? Wasn't it awesome? Right? Food, like, oh, this is so good. And I was hungry. I was fasting, right? I was praying, fasting, holy, and everything else. And then I just blurted out a cuss word right in front of her and my pastor. And I said, man. And then I said it. And I'm like, oh, my God. I should have cussed word. I was fasting and praying. Oh, my God. I got all red and everything. And I cussed. Oh, my God. I cussed. I've been cussing years. The only time I cussed was in front of my pastor. And I'm like, oh, oh my God. You know, you ever been to a construction site? And you see, you know, maybe everything's not just the way it should be. And he put out a sign. And they said, work in progress, right? You're that construction site. People see you and goes, you're not all together. You got some issues, right? As a matter of fact, I wish I could just keep this on me because whenever I mess up, I'll look at this. This is me right here. I'm a work in progress. I'm a daddy in progress. I'm a father in progress. I'm a husband in progress. I'm even a son in progress. I'm not the perfect son either to my mom. You know, so I have to work at this. And if you notice that the Bible talks about that, it says that we are God's building, and it talks about that God's going to complete the work. And how many know that some of us have a lot of work ahead of us? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right? Sit men's home, say amen. We got a lot of work. I know, I hear them every day. Amen. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in our lives. And I still need a lot of work. I'm still working on myself in some areas, but I'm trying to be patient. You know, one thing I lack is patience. And people say, you're a good patient. No, I'm not that patient. You know, I'll tell them, hurry up. Come on, somebody. Just come on, let's get it. You know, I can't wait. That's one thing I have a hard time is waiting, but I'm learning because I learn to suffer in the process. Amen. The Bible says you'll do trials. It teaches you patience. And so I've learned to be patient and wait upon God. Because I mean, when we do it on ourselves and our own strength, guess what? We fall on our face. We mess up. We're a work in progress. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, we're a work in progress. You know, you might mess up when you walk out these doors, right? You might do something, say something, feel something. How many know, again, we're a work in progress. There's things that God is working in you, even as a family. I believe the hardest people to reach, again, is your family. The hardest people to reach is my own sisters. My sisters are not even saved right now. You know, because they still think of me as their little brother. You know, they still think of me as their little brother. I'm a big brother now. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I come there and I'll show them, you know, I'm a man of God. But sometimes they look at me and they think I'm, you know, not that, all that, right? And because I'm family. And sometimes that's what we struggle with. And being a father, it's sometimes very difficult, you know, to do that. But one of the things that I had to deal with in my marriage and my family is that I had to learn to grow. Because I couldn't just stay the same. Because just because we have this on us, right? How many have ever heard people say this? I'm just trying to keep it real. How many have ever heard that? When they mess up, right? I'm just trying to keep it real. This is me. This is all of me. What keeping it real is real change. Amen. You're really trying to change. That's what's keeping it real. And yeah, you have this sign. You're a work in progress. But this shouldn't give you a license to sin. Everybody say, ouch. Sometimes, oh, I got grace. Amen. The Lord, give me grace. And the Bible dealt with that. He says, look, in Romans chapter 6, verse 15 says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? And the Bible says, certainly not. That we shouldn't just do that because we have grace. You know why? Because the more you change, the more people change around you. You don't believe me. The more you change, the more people change. Because they know they can't get away with stuff around you. You can always tell, all right? When somebody's, you know, kind of like halfway borderline, they're always looking for another borderline person. Got quiet up in this place. Amen.
Because they're always looking for the weak. They're weak, so I'm going to find me a weak one too. Come on. Hey, let's get drunk together. Let's get high together. Let's smoke weed together. Let's do this. Hey, check out these girls. Let's do that. You'll always look for the weak so that you can hang out and compromise. But if you're saying, Juan gets together and he's serving God, and somebody weak says, hey, check this out, bro. I'm not about that no more. That's not me no more. I've changed. I'm not about that no more. You can find somebody that's weak around you. You're going to find that all the time. In the home, you can find that in the church. You're going to find, but I'm not about that no more.
Now, I remember there was a time where I had to get together in my home. I let some things go. I let MTV be played in my house and just listening to their stories of, how they used to, talk about their crib and how it was so cool and they made all this money and then all these girls come on and I didn't think of it, anything about it. And I remember my kids were small and they were just looking at it and they would repeat the words that were seeing were being said on MTV. And then I used to just, compromise all these areas. And then I realized why my kids were acting like the devil. Because I allowed the devil to come in.
Amen. I know we're supposed to have fun, but can I tell you the truth in the process? You know what happens? The truth will set you free.
Yes.
Turns you into it'll set you free. But it'll get you mad first.
Yes, it will. It'll get you mad first. And I remember just doing it, I realized me as a father, I had to come to a place of change, right, honey? Remember that? I can't allow this. I turned off the TV, turned off the music, turned off everything. We're having Bible studies. It's going to be a Holy Ghost place. I remember changing everything. Within a year or so, everything changed. The environment changed. Matter of fact, soon after that, my children got saved. And everything started working out, man. My anointing grew stronger, and I feel God just using me in a greater way. Why? Because I started off with just getting things right at home. In my family. Come on, give the Lord a good hand, amen?
Yeah.
So when I decided to change, my whole family just followed suit. Sometimes you can blame your wife. Oh, she don't want to listen to me. Well, give her something to listen to. Hello, somebody. Woo. She don't want to listen. You complain about each other. But you know what? When you blame, that's the first sign of not changing. Let me give you an example. Adam and Eve, first thing. When God confronted their sin, what did Adam complain about? Right? What did Eve complain about? The devil. There you go, bro. The devil. The devil had no one to blame. He had no one to blame. Right? But everybody tried to blame each other, and that's why there's no real change. You know what the real change begins with? Ownership. You take ownership of everything. You just say, it doesn't matter if she did that or he did that or he did this. I'm going to take ownership and say, you know what? First person going to change is me. It's me. I'm going to change. I'm going to make this change. I don't care. Yeah, you can do all. You can do all that you want to do. But for as me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. We shall serve the Lord. And as a family, we learn how to do that. Man, changes begin to happen. And people glean from your family. I hear that all the time. Not that I boast about it, but I actually feel good about it. When the mentor comes to me and says, Pastor, I glean from your family. I see how you handle your wife. I see how you handle your children. And that inspires me to be the same. Amen? You guys are looking at me because I'm an example to you as a family should be. But as we have problems with our natural family, we also have problems with our spiritual family. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. I want you to turn to that if you can, or write a note on that one, because I want you to kind of study this one, because this one would be a good study for you for later. This is the Apostle Paul addressing an issue at the church. And basically here, he was addressing an issue about being a hypocrite. And he was talking about a people that have been saved for a while. But he was also introducing them to something else to try to help them in their hypocrisy. And in verse 11, it says, in chapter 2 of Galatians, it says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. Now, this is Paul talking to Peter, and he just confronted him because he was to blame. He was doing something he wasn't supposed to do. In verse 12, before certain men came from James There were some Jews that came in as spies. If you look at it, you study it a little bit. There were some Jews that came in to spy what these people were doing. And he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, everybody say, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of circumcision. He was talking about the Jews. He was like, he was conforming to the Jews. In verse 13, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. So that even Barnabas, this is now Barnabas. Barnabas has been around a while. He was a brother that's been around a while. And he was also carried away with hypocrisy. Isn't that amazing how that this story was told about people that have been saved for a while? And he was, you know what happens for people that have been saved a while? Let me get your attention real quick. This is what happens. I've been saved now for almost 30 years. Over 30 years. Amen. I know I look young. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this is what I've seen in church. This is my observation. What I see in church is that the longer you're saved, the more self-righteous you become. Right? And the longer you're saved, the less prayer you want to have.
I don't know.
You guys don't know what I'm talking about. Because you pray every prayer in the book, and sometimes coming to prayer becomes... And sometimes you look at everybody else, and you begin to judge, and you begin to say, and you begin to, and then your finger becomes that pointing that everybody's flaws, because you've been in church for a while. And guess what's happening? You got one finger going out and three fingers going back. Hello, somebody. Isn't that true right there? Bam, bam, bam. We're getting blamed. We're blaming people. At the same time, we have flaws. That's why the Bible says, don't look at the toothpick on your brother's eye. You got a 2x4 in your own eye. Right? You're picking out a little piece of wood. You got the biggest piece of wood in front of you. Right? And so the longer you've been saved, the more self-righteous you become. So the Apostle Paul was dealing with these guys that have been saved for a while. And then when he was dealing with them, he was telling them this. Check this out. He was telling them, you guys are hypocrites. You guys are, look at you. You were acting one way in front of the Jews. And then when the Gentiles came around and says, hey, come sit with me. He said, no, you're going to go hang out with these people. They fell into the trap of peer pressure. They were there trying to, just comply with the world. And all along, you're not supposed to comply with the world. You're supposed to stand out from the world.
Yes.
And the Apostle Paul just confronted them. He said, look, you guys are hypocrites. You know what the word hypocrite means in the Greek? It means actor, right? But not only an actor, it means that you put another face as an actor, right? Now, how many have acted really good? You know what I'm talking about. When the cops came, you said, I'm innocent, right? Believe me, I didn't do it. That was him. And you played a good role. And even when you got pulled over by the police, and then you said you were so-and-so because you didn't want your name to be run up. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen.
So you
know how to act really good, right? When you get busted, you know how to be the play that the deer, looking at. Not me, I didn't do nothing. Not me, I didn't do anything. Right? We know how to act really good. We play the role real good. Let me share something with you. Okay. I know that I wasn't saved all my life. I did a lot of stuff I regret. I lived a certain kind of way. So when I came to church, when people say, no, pray, I'm like, pray. Raise my hands. I didn't know how to. It almost felt like fake. Right? Can I keep it real? Is that all right? I almost feel like, okay, I'm raising my hand because everybody else is raising their hand. Right? I'm going to pray because everybody's praying. I guess I'm going to have to sing songs. Everybody's singing songs. Maybe I'll just say hallelujah because everybody's singing hallelujah. It almost feels fake. It almost feels like it's not you. And I almost felt like that. Sometimes I came to church, I almost felt like a phony, a fake, a hypocrite. I blew it the other day. Here I am trying to praise him. You know what I mean? I felt that. Am I alone with that one? Amen. Am I alone? Because I need to hear if there's any other real people in the house. Because I don't know. Because I don't know about you, but I'm going to serve a real church, a real God. And so I struggled with that.
But just like this, check this out. When I got into a car and I didn't know how to drive, I put on the ignition and I started the car.
I didn't know how to drive. So I remember when I first drove a stick. You know, how many of you ever drove a stick before? Yeah. And then you just conk out. You just do it again. You just have to play with the clutch a little bit. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, because in this age, nobody knows how to drive a stick anymore. Everything's automatic, right? But for the old people, amen, you know how to drive a stick. Right? And it was kind of odd, because I knew how to drive an automatic, but I didn't know how to drive a stick. So, you know, like, it was kind of weird, right? And then eventually it became natural. Something that I just started doing naturally. And then it started peeling out.
They're doing donuts. Again, you don't know what I'm talking about, right? All you old people, come on, somebody, say amen. Because you know what I'm talking about. You pop that clutch and you make some donuts and there you go, you're taking off. You know, I like that about the stick. I said, it's cool, right? It's good. But first, it was unnatural. When I first rode a bike, I'd fall all the time. I remember riding my bike. How many have ever been taught by somebody? My sister taught me how to ride my first bike. And I was riding it. I was like, and I was always so scared I was going to fall. So I rode it, and eventually, you know, she was always holding me in the back. Eventually, she just let go, and I'm just riding it. And I just keep going, And I turned around, and I was like, oh, I fell, right? Because I thought she was holding me. But eventually, I got so natural, I started popping wheelies. I started going, yeah! I started getting excited about riding bikes, right? And then I got to the dirt, started going all, doing all that stuff. It became natural. It wasn't, didn't feel fake anymore. That's what it is when you serve God. You just got to practice this. You got to practice His presence. You got to feel the joy. See, it is by faith that we come before His presence. It's not by feeling. Because when you go by faith, eventually you'll feel it. Somebody say amen. You will feel the presence. Why? Because you're practicing His presence. You're lifting up your hands. You're singing the song. And then all of a sudden, let me tell you what I experienced. All of a sudden, the anointing falls all over me. My tears start coming down my face. Man, I started crying. Boogers started coming down. And I was like, whoa, what is this? I didn't even know that this was all. Oh, come on, somebody. I started worshiping. And all of a sudden, a hallelujah came out. And it wasn't fake no more. Before, it was mechanical. Hallelujah, right? But now I can see hallelujah. And it comes with feeling. Because I practice His presence. I learn how to get in there with God's presence. And when you do that, things begin to change. See, becoming a hypocrite is part of the process, to be honest with you. There's a duality that happens in the beginning of your salvation. You're going to deal with it because you're half in the spirit and half in the flesh. Amen. You're always trying to do things in the spirit, but you're trying to handle it in the flesh. And it just comes back and forth. You just revert back to what you used to do, right? This is how I know how to do it, you know. And you go back to it, but eventually you shouldn't operate that way. Because if you keep operating that way, you're going to eventually lose. You're going to lose more than you get. You're going to lose more, and you got to learn how to deal with that in your life, because eventually you got to change. Everybody say change.
Change.
You see, the family, when you become a strong unit as a family, things begin to happen. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." Everybody say liberty. That means freedom, right? God's called us for freedom. Not only, he says, to do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love. Everybody say love.
Love.
Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. That's that love word. In this you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Now, your family, your biological family, your church family, the bond to that family is called L-O-V-E, love. It's not the love that you've learned in the past. It's that God love that God wants to teach you. It's a forgiving love, a merciful love, not a rude love. Hello, somebody. It's a love that we all need. And so that's why in the church, see, the Apostle Paul was addressing the church, and he was telling them, you guys are hypocrites. But if you read down the line, he was demonstrating something. Now, some of you guys live by the law, but I'm trying to teach you how to live by grace.
There you go.
You see, you're living in the Old Testament. It's time to graduate and go to the New Testament. It's time to get introduced to the love and the grace. And God has given us that grace and love to forgive one another. And I hear this all the time. Why families break up. My wife and I hear those stories all the time. Why a mom is not together with their daughter. Why a father is mad at her. You hear it all the time. They fall out because there's no mercy in the home. And we're here all the time in the church. Yes, guess what? I want to
something, do something. Step on somebody's toe. You're going to do it. It's just going to happen in the church. The bigger we get, the bigger the mess. Hello, somebody. You know, and I tell you, here in Victory Always Conquer, we're going to grow a large church. But let me tell you, the forefront of this church is called L-O-V-E. We're going to love people into the house of God. We're going to keep them through love. Love is the forefront to keep everybody in the house. We learn to love each other. And the Bible says, even if those that have fallen away, that we restore them with love. That we don't condemn them, but we love them and embrace them. Because guess what? You're one sin away from being just like them. You're just one decision away from being just like them. I'm in no place to judge you or condemn you. God is the only one that can do any kind of judging. All I'm here is a demonstration of God's grace to you. That it doesn't matter how much you fail. It doesn't matter if you stab me in the back 100 times. It doesn't matter if you talk about me. It's okay. The devil is talking about me too. Somebody say amen. It doesn't matter to me because grace is what I've learned. Because I've attained grace, I'm going to give grace.
You're a work in progress. You're a work. I remember I learned this a long time ago. I was coming from work, and I worked at a, Paul knows this, I worked at an IT department, and I remember coming from work, and I was in project management, so I was just involved in projects and things that I had to take care of, and they would give me assignments, and I would complete the assignments, and once I complete the assignments, I felt good, I'd go, I'm working on the next assignment. So when I got home, the problem was when I walked into the house, they didn't listen to the orders that I gave them before I left the house, and I told them to clean the living room, and make sure dinner is cooked and everything's set. When I got home, they didn't do none of that. It was a mess. My wife didn't look that great. Her pointed up like this, amen. The kids were all, you know, not dressed right, you know, and then the house was a mess. This is in the beginning. She's not like that now, amen. She gets up beautiful now. She's going all this. Her hair ironed all the time, amen. She's just perfect now. But back then, right, we had issues, right? Can you agree on that one? Okay, amen, praise the Lord. I didn't want to argue after church, so I'm just going to make sure. But we do argue still, right? We still have issues, amen. I'm a work in progress, amen. But I remember coming home, and I was a kid on the case, and I said, me. And everybody, Victoria, remember, she used to run to her room. Daddy's coming home. She'd go home. She'd go to her bed. Everybody leaves. And I felt all alone. I said, where's everybody at? And everybody would leave. And I remember praying one day. You know, no lie. I was there sitting down before the Lord. I was praying. I said, God, help me with my family. And I remember the Lord speaking to me directly. And the Lord kind of just put something in my spirit. He told me, you treat people at work better than you treat your own family. When I go to work, I remember I used to put on my game face, smiles, and a coffee. Hey, good morning, guys. How's your day? Hey, how's your weekend, buddy? Hey, oh, wow. Hey, oh, yeah, I had a great time. Oh, yeah. My coffee, right? And I used to sit there, check my email, put my emails out. I say, oh, yeah, how was your week? Great. Oh, yeah. Well, I can't wait for after work. We're going to go golf. We're going to go hang out. Hey, all right. It was great. And when I got home, hey, where are your kids at? And it almost felt like I gave my best to my job. I gave my worst to my home. And the Lord told me, I got to change. And I remember complaining one day to my coworker, and I told him, man, you better be nice to me because I see you more than I see my own children. I see you every day. I see you for 8-10 hours. And I see my wife for 2 hours at night. I'm gone. I'm asleep. And I remember things had to change in my life. I said, Lord, help me to change. You know what I did? I said, okay, Lord, let me not be a hypocrite no more. Let me not do this anymore. Let me change. And I remember coming home. Before I walked into the room, everything changes. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I walked into the room. And then I prayed. Before I walked in the room, I prayed. I said, Lord, help me to just take all that stuff off, take off the job hat off, and put on the daddy hat on. I said, "Now I'm ready." Took it all off, and then I go in there, and they're all scared. What do you want, Dad? No, I just want to hug you.
could hug my wife and hug her, just love her. And everything, yeah, it wasn't perfect. I just hugged them. And then later on, we dealt with some issues later on if something needed to be addressed. But for the most part, I love my family for who they are. And guess what God introduced me to? Grace. Grace. Because grace covers a multitude of sin. That's why the more you practice grace, the more you'll receive grace. The more you'll get grace. The more you practice grace, the Bible says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You practice grace, you're going to get grace back. You learn to forgive more than you hold a grudge. And you do that in the church, you know what the Bible says? Let me tell you what the Bible says about that. People will know you for the love that you show towards each other. They will know that Jesus is in the house. Yeah. That's the compliment that we get every time somebody walks into those doors. They say, I feel the presence of God in this place. Let me hear.
Come on, let's give the Lord a good hand.
So it doesn't matter where you might feel like you're a bad mom. You might feel like you're a bad dad. You might feel like even you're a bad son or daughter. It doesn't matter at this point. You have to understand and grasp the grace of God. And this is, let me leave you with this, that you understand this, because the more I came to church, the more I began to change. You see, the more I came to church, the more I began to change. That's why I made it a priority that you come to church. I remember I used to discipline my children all the time. I remember Tim taking the video games away. I used to take them. They couldn't go out. This is what I did with my kids. When they did something wrong, right? How many know that kids are rebellious sometimes, right? Let me give you some advice. How many here got kids? Raise your hand. Right? You got most of the guys. Alright. How many want kids? Raise your hands. How many are gonna adopt a kid? Amen. Get adopted. Adopt a dog. Amen. Go ahead. Do that. Amen. Adopt something. Amen. Well, I've learned this a long time ago with kids, is that I try to stay in control, because if I'm out of control, they're out of control. So when they come to me out of control, doing their thing, getting crazy on me, yelling and everything else, what I do is that I write a note down and I said, okay, all right, it's cool, all right, let me just write it down. Later on, as we go on with our day, they're going to ask me, hey, Dad, let's go. Let's go hang out. Let's go to an ice cream place, or can we go play outside with my friends? And go, yo, I'm so glad you asked me that. Because you know what, earlier today, you didn't do what I wanted me to do. So guess what? You're not going to do what you want to do. And what? Oh, let me refresh your memory. Remember when you said such and such? Okay. Now, that's the reason why you're not going to get what you want. Are we in agreement? Okay. Awesome. All right. We're all on the same page. That's cool. All right. I didn't have to yell or scream or pull out the belt. I didn't have to do none of that. I was just like, okay, we're cool, right? We're good. We see each other now. Okay. I get what I want. I want respect. I want you to calm down. You get what you want. You get to play and have fun. Right? I've learned that a long time ago, because I learned how to stay in control. Because if you're out of control, your whole family's out of control. And the only way that you learn, I disciplined my kids with so many different things. But I did this. I never disciplined them from coming to church on Sunday. That was like the number one. Because why? Church is to make you better, not worse. Right? If anything, I want my children to hear the word of God so to help them in their rebellious state. Right? So I'm going to tell them, you're going to go to church. You know, but then if they want to go have fun after church, no, I'm sorry. You're going to have to come home. You want to go hang out? No, sorry. Yeah, just come home. But coming to church is a priority. And I've taught my kids since day one. They've learned that, my family, and for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. And I taught them from the beginning, and I am reaping the benefits of that. My children love the Lord. Let me tell you here today, I got grandchildren, and I'm teaching them the principles. They know it. I'm telling you, this is now from generation to generation, that priority is set. It's the house of God, because that's where family begins to change. If you want your family to change, do not deprive them from the house of God. Bring them here faithfully every weekend. And then one thing that you need to teach them is how to worship. That's why you need to come here early and worship. When we're here early worshiping God, come here, raise your hand. Don't come late. Come early and worship the Lord with us. Because guess what that does? It prepares your heart for what God has next for your life. Amen.
So come early. Get here with the Lord. And let me tell you, this is what I see. And I'm going to have Victoria make her way up. This is what I see a lot with families. Let me just leave you with this. I see that people want to give up so prematurely. They have a hard time with their family. Why? Because they keep blowing it. It happens. It happens to all of us. We all blow it. We all say things we shouldn't have said. We all do things we shouldn't have done. And it happens. You just keep bringing them to church. The Bible says in verse 9 of Galatians chapter 6, he says, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing." The Bible says, "For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." How many know we can't give up? Amen. Somebody say amen. You cannot give up. "Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the house of faith." Isn't that amazing? Because it doesn't just say how that we have to do good with our family, but it also talks about the church.
The church. The family. That's why, let me tell you why. Why we have the men's home in church if they stay awake enough. Okay. I'm trying to be graceful. But the reason why we have the men's home, be part of the church, so that when they go through their withdrawals, and see, it takes about 6 months for them to become almost normal. Because after the withdrawals, because they go through meth, and meth makes you a little crazy, it makes you emotional, and I tell them, you're acting like women. You're acting like girls right now. And you know, girls, you know, okay, I don't want to go through that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I start talking like, you know, I go, hey, you're acting like women. You gotta stop. And in 6 months of just getting that out of you. And then finally I get to deal with the person, the character, the flaws that got you to that place where you were an addicted personality. And you can start doing things. And that's why the home is so important. It detoxes you not only from the drugs, but it detoxes you from your old lifestyle. You get it? Your old patterns of self-destructive ways. And then now, that's why you have it in the home. But not only that, they get to be a part of the home here in the church. You see, I know a lot of people compare Victory Outreach with Teen Challenge. And the difference between Teen Challenge and Victory Outreach, let me tell you right now, we had the same spiritual father, Dan Wilkerson. But the difference is that Teen Challenge was a parachurch. It was a church. It was a ministry outside of a church. Victory Outreach has a recovery home, a part of the church. He said, the reason why is because Pastor Sonny believes in family. And so he said there was a problem because he was a part of Teen Challenge. There was a problem. There was a disconnect. So when the guys graduated the home, they were getting lost after because they weren't a part of a family. And so now that you're a part of this family, this spiritual family, you stay awake long enough, you can hear it. Amen. Now you're part of the spiritual family. When you graduate this family, right? You're following, right? And taking you somewhere. You're following this family. Now you get everybody, because how many know on a graduation day, when you graduate high school, you graduate college, who do you want there to be? Rooting you up, playing the horn. Woo! The horn, right? I'm waking some of you guys up. Right? You want to play the horn, you want to get excited. That's what we want you guys. When you walk up on the stage, and then you're all like, hey, hallelujah. I went through the trials. I went through all the storms. I went through all the snores. Hello, somebody, you know, all the farts. I mean, all that other stuff. Amen. And you went through all that, and you finally get, I'm now promoted. And we all celebrate you because we celebrate change. We celebrate what God's doing in your life. Not only that, you're now adopted into the family of God. You're part of the family of God. That's what it's about, guys. Sometimes people have a misconception of Victory Outreach, and it's not that way. Something, well, you're not a drug. No. If you're hurting, you should be a part of our church.
Come on.
It's not about being a drug addict. It's not about being none of that. It's about you hurting and wanting God. It doesn't matter what state that you're in, you're a part of our spiritual family so that we can embrace you, love on you, care for you, and give you food when you need it, and be there for you when you need it, and just being a part of your household and your family. As the home graduates, we're going to see them be promoted. I believe in the men's home, we're going to have people that are going to be preaching the gospel all over the world. Fathers are going to be proud to be fathers to the children. They're an example. say learning in the house of God. You see, we're a family here today. We are a family. We're celebrating families today. Family Fun Sunday. Afterward, we're going to be having a barbecue. We're going to have a good old time. But let's celebrate the spiritual family and what we're all about in Victory Outreach Concord. That we care for one another. The forefront is love. L-O-V-E. That's the fulfillment of the law. That we learn to love one another. And love covers a multitude of sin. It doesn't matter how messed up you are and how much you stink. Hello, somebody. Because some of us stunk on the way in. Amen. And you came in and the love of God covered you. And we loved on you. My wife, we've had some experiences with some people. Some lady came to our church. She was crazy. She was crazy, crazy. Amen. She was crazy. She was crazy. And she came, she was like all into the church. And then we invited her over to come over to eat dinner with us. And so she goes, come on over. We want to get to know you and everything else. And she came in with her Superwoman outfits. Hello, somebody. Captain America, right? Captain America. It was super tight. Amen. And so she just came in with all everything hanging out. Can I just keep it real? Amen. She just came in. She said, hey! And then my wife was like, hey. All right. And I walked into the room. Funny because we try heck of hard. Can I say that? Amen. I try real hard to keep our face, you know, like that. And we just loved her and embraced her and just took her in and just loved her for who she was. We didn't care, right? Afterwards, we were just having a good old time. Just trying not to look at her body. Not put down. Crazy down there. Amen. And so I was just trying to just love her for who she was. And man, we loved her. We loved her. She got hold of Jesus at the end of her life. She passed away in her eternity. She died. But one thing she did, she left saved. Why? Yes. So who did she have? We're so broken. We're so broken because we were able to meet her for the last days of her life and introduce her to Jesus. And I was like, man, thank you, Jesus. Let us continue to honor our church. Let us love people. It doesn't matter who they are, what they have a Captain America outfit. It doesn't matter. We're going to love them for who they are. For who they are. Amen? Amen. I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving already. Let's all stand. Amen. This is what I want to do here today. Maybe you're feeling a little condemned. Maybe you feel like you're not meeting up the standard. Maybe you feel like you have a lot of regrets. Maybe you're just feeling mixed emotions right now. I don't know what you're feeling right now. Maybe just some things are going on in your life right now. You just feel like you're not even there yet. And I understand. I pray that you get there. Well, one thing I've always taught this church, and if you have come here for the very first time, or you just started coming, one thing I've always taught the church, and you'll always know this, that you might see me blow it, you might see other people blow it. One thing that my wife and I agree on is that we'll never give up. Amen. We'll never give up. There's one thing I'm going to leave you with is that I'm not going to give up. And as a dad, I'm not going to give up. Yeah, you messed up. I ain't going to give up. And that's a legacy that you'll leave behind for your children. That you show them, yeah, I might have fell away. Yeah, I might even backslid. Oh, but I ain't giving up on this. Because this is my lifeline. This is where I learned how to serve. This is where God did a work in me. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to do a new season. I'm going to reap if I don't give up. That's what the Bible says. It's a promise. And it says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Raising up a family is great. Raising up a godly family is awesome. And raising up a godly church is awesome too. This is what I want to do. I want you to bow your heads here today. I feel the Spirit of God moving and ministering already. I feel God just moving amongst us right now. I believe there's things that you need to just come clean before the Lord. There's some things that you need to deal with. You know, the road that we take, it's your choice. But if you want to follow this road, it's going to lead you to a good prosperity, a good life, a good outcome. The Bible says that He wants to give you life and life more abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're here for the very first time, maybe you're saying to yourself, maybe I just need to give my heart to Jesus. I just need to give my heart to the Lord. And it's not easy. It's not easy to do because it's a hard thing. You got to give up your will for God's will. And I understand that. But if you want to give your heart to Jesus here today, I'm going to give you an opportunity before I move on with the service. If that's you here today, I want you to raise your hand. Just real quickly. Just raise your hand. God bless you in the back. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Anybody else? God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? God bless you. Just want to give your heart to Jesus. And that's the first place you start off. You start changing yourself. Give your heart with no reservations, no holding back, no other plans, but God's plans. You just give your heart to the Master. The Bible calls him the Master Builder. He's able to make you right. He's able to change you right. If that's you here today, you raise your hand, raise it again. It's you, just right there. God bless you. Back. God bless you. Anybody else? Amen. God bless you. That's what I want you to do too. You raise your hand. That's awesome. I also want you to do this. Now, some of you guys might have brought some of your family. Or some of you guys might not have your family here today. But what I want to do here today is do this. I've always believed this. Heal people, hurt people, right? I believe heal families. When a couple gets together when they're on the verge of divorce and they get healed, that's a healing for somebody. Oh, that's a miracle that they can now look forward to. You see? Heal people. And if you feel that you need to get healed in some areas of your life, that you know that you're